Yes, sir. We are back with another episode of the Calling the Podcast. It is your boy. It is your host, Cam Baskin. And we're going to go over today, Monday Night Football, and a lot of other things today we got going on today. So we're going to get right into it. But Monday night, I called it. I told y'all the Ravens was going to win 31-20. I said the score was going to be 31-21, but you know the answer score was 31-25. But you got to give your boy some credit now. Come on. And y'all probably thought that I was going to be real wrong, the Ravens being down by all them points going into the second half. But Lamar did his thing. Like, come on, y'all. We got to start giving these quarterbacks some credit that was drafted real low, went to the real bad team, and then still making some out of nothing with these teams like Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. These guys was getting all who everybody was saying all of these things about these guys. They not accurate. They can't pass. What they going to do with this situation? What they going to do in the playoffs? Can they get to the playoffs? And then now they doing all of this stuff. Exactly. Crickets. Now they can't say nothing. They can't say a word about Lamar Jackson or none of these other guys because they're performing. The first it was Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver. Come on, man. When have y'all ever heard a Heisman quarterback? You know, Heisman winner being a quarterback in his junior year and then go to the league and they talk about he need to be a receiver. Come on now. Come on. Last night this man threw 37-42 for 442 yards. Come on now. With no interceptions, 4 TDs. No interceptions. And they wanted him to be a receiver. I got to start giving this man his praise. And he already a former MVP of the league. Lamar Jackson is throwing this thing. Also, with no real run game. Like, he has backups at running back because J.K. Dobbins got hurt. And a backup got hurt as well. They're working with Latavius Murray, former running back from the Saints. They're working with Devontae Freeman, you know, on his way out the league. You know, his better years are behind him, but he's still a good back. You know, he can plug in there with Latavius Murray. You know, they got some backs back there, but he was still the leading rusher with 14 carries on the Ravens team for 62 yards, you know. But really, he had a real big passing game, like I said earlier, with 442 yards. Like, his big targets, his big tight end, Mark Andrews, 11 receptions, 147 yards. Marquise Brown, you know, Hollywood. 9 receptions for 125 yards. Both of them had 2 TDs. So it was like they was carving up the Colts defense. Now the Colts defense did their thing first. You know, they helped them with 3 points in the first half. But when your offense isn't scoring, isn't producing, your kicker is missing kicks, getting field goals blocked, you know what I'm saying? Those points matter. Those 3 points matter. And that's what led to the Ravens coming back in that game. You know, but with that, Carson Wentz still threw for 400 yards. You know, he had 2 TDs, no interceptions. So with that, he did his thing somewhat. You know, Jonathan Taylor even had a pretty big game. Like, this game went down to the wire. It went into overtime. So, you know, Jonathan Taylor, he had a big game receiving and rushing. He had 116 receiving yards off of 3 carries. He had a touchdown receiving and he got a touchdown rushing. He only rushed for 53 yards for 15 carries. He kind of split the rushing attempts with Marlon Mack. You know, they got a pretty good running back core in on the Colts. So we're gonna be looking at that. They also got to look out for second year Michael Pittman Jr. He's a pretty good receiver. Probably have a breakout year soon, either this year or the next year. Pretty good receiver. Still got, you know, guys like T.Y. Hilton on the team. I think the Colts will have a better year next year. You know, everybody thought this was the year for Carson Wentz. I didn't really think so. You know, first year going to a new team, you know, getting the system down. People say, oh, he had his coach from the Eagles when he was, you know, considered one of the best quarterbacks when he first came. Nah, you still playing with new players. The chemistry, guys. Chemistry matters in football. So, you know, it's going to take a while for Carson Wentz to get that chemistry with his teammates, his receivers. Also, he was hurt during training camp this season, too. You know, before the season started, he had hurt, you know, he had to get a surgery done, came back right before the season. So that's also a lot of repetition he missed because he was sidelined. So I'm going to give Carson Wentz a slight break, just a little break. But, you know, I'm going to give Carson Wentz one more year at the Colts to see what he can do because that's a good team. It's a real good team. Also with that, the records is looking pretty off for the Colts. But they got a nice game coming up this Sunday against the Texans. So, you know, hopefully they'll be able to recuperate, get things together, and then go back out there and hopefully get a win there. Then you got the Ravens taking on the Chargers. Now, that'd be a tough game. The Chargers are red hot right now. Only got that one loss to the Cowboys. It's like I said on Monday. Cowboys looking pretty good, because if you're looking at it right now, how the Cowboys beat the Chargers, mind you, it was a lot of penalties in that game, but can't go off of that. They beat the Chargers, and now the Chargers is looking like one of the top teams, especially after taking down the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs losing to the Bills. So, you know, the Chargers are – and then I do also believe the Raiders lost. So now the Chargers are number one in their division. So this is going to look like it's going to be a pretty good game come Sunday against the Ravens. So, but we're going to move on from Monday Night Football, you know, how great of a game that was. I'm going to go on to just a little slight news. You know, speaking of the Raiders, John Gruden got fired. You know, he said some wild things on the email to one of his players a couple years ago. It was about 10 years ago. I ain't going to say stuff he said. It was some racial slurs and stuff like that, and kind of things he said. But it's no occasion he got fired. You know, good luck to him and his future endeavors, you know. But, you know, when certain things like that come to the air, it's kind of hard for, you know, organization to really keep you, though. You know, people don't want to be associated with stuff like that, especially in this time and day and age. He is a good football coach, you know, real known in the sports world, football world. But, man, when you get something like that being exposed, y'all can look it up or whatever he said. It was through an email. But, you know, that's a real tough break for the Raiders, too. Like, you know, y'all start off real strong this season, you know. You know, you're starting running back and Josh Jacobs gets hurt, but it's not a serious injury. You know, it was just a 2-week sprain, but you know, he came back. He just had his game coming back this past Sunday. And then now your coach gets fired off of some stuff he said. So, you know, it's a real tough break for the Raiders. So it'll be interesting to see how they do continuing forward. So we're going to keep a lookout on that, but right now we're going to move away from football. We will come back at the end of the show for a Thursday night football prediction for tomorrow. And another one of our quick picks. So, but right now we're going to move over to the NBA. Cause last night we had a little bit of NBA preseason. Last night we had, you know, the Raptors taking on the Wizards, and this game preseason is all, I like preseason, cause you get a little look, you know, the players and the teams, you know, before the real season starts. And also with sports, like, why wouldn't I want to watch sports, you know, especially with some guys that I know, get to see college players get out there and play, to see what they do in the league, to start off before they get out there when it gets serious. So, you know, and in this game, you know, a lot of players on the Raptors didn't really play. You know, Siakam and all those guys didn't play. Goran Dragic did go out there. You know, he had 16 points, shot 4 for 5 for 3. You know, the Raptors had a pretty good, a lot of bench players scored, you know, so they won that game 113-108. You know, what was interesting for this game with me was that the Wizards, you know, they kind of started a lot of their players and they still lost. It was kind of interesting. Like Brad Beal, he had a really bad game, he had 7 points, shot 1 of 11. So hopefully he gets back. But we all know what Brad Beal going to do come regular season. He going to get out that little shooting slump. That's probably why he's out there now. You know, Kyle Kuzma, though, would stand out for them. You know, he had the game high for the Wizards. You know, he had 24 points, shooting 6-8 from the three. So looking at Kyle Kuzma, you know, he got criticized last season for not stepping up on the Lakers when AD went down. I was another person who really wasn't a Kyle Kuzma fan on the Lakers. I didn't think Kyle Kuzma was the right fit for the Lakers. I didn't think, not saying he wasn't a good basketball player or a good young prospect, I just didn't think he fit with the Lakers right. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he needed the ball more. You know, at the Lakers, he's kind of like a spot-up shooter. You know what I mean? Not really. I think he's kind of a, you know, Jason Tatum type player. You know, create his own shot, can drive to the basket. He has to get his rhythm going, you know, a nice flow to his game. You know, he was coming in and off the bench, having to, you know, basically catch and shoot, jump shots, long threes, you know, and then it just wasn't a good, I didn't like that. Then when they wanted him to do more than just, you know, catch and shoot, I just didn't think it just worked well. So I do think that him being on the Wizards with Bradley Beal, with a Montrezl Harrell, and a, you know, a lot of other guys where he can actually help contribute to a team that needs more for him than just to do the catch and shoot. Now, mind you, y'all might be saying, well, the Lakers needed him to do more than catch and shoot when AD went down. Yeah, that is true. That is very true, and he did not do very well at it. But also, that's where I say I just don't think it was the right fit, coaching staff, player-wise. I just don't think it was the right fit. I think he has to be, you know, because just like we thought how with Brandon Ingram, wasn't, and Lonzo really wasn't a good fit with the Lakers and LeBron. And you see Brandon Ingram and Lonzo get traded to New Orleans, and now Lonzo's on the Bulls. You see how these players got progressively better being on their own. You know, they're still young players. They still haven't really found themselves, you know, especially when you're coming off the bench, not really getting time to really develop your game like that. So I think this would be one of those breakout years for our Kyle Kuzma as well. The Wizards team, I ain't going to say all that. But Kyle Kuzma himself, yeah, we'll say that. And so that game stood out to me. The Warriors played the Lakers last night. The Warriors won. See, the Warriors is one of my favorites right now. A lot of people not really picking the Warriors right now, you know. But I do think, you know, with those draft picks that they got some pretty good draft picks. And then the way those kids play, man, boy, they bench is going to be something. They're going to be a problem for a lot of teams, and especially whenever Klay comes back. Whenever he comes back, that happens. They haven't said when Klay is going to come back. But rest assured, whenever he does come back, the league is going to be put on notice because the Warriors are going to be a problem. But we'll talk about that later on when we get the NBA season actually starts in a week or so. But just know, we ready for the NBA season. This is one of the best times of the year for sports. You know, you get football, basketball, you got the MLB playoffs, you got fights coming on. It's just a good time to be alive if you're a sports fan right now. And now what we're going to do, we're going to get to our quick prediction. Actually, hold on, let's hold off on a quick prediction because, you know, I did just see right here that Kyrie Irving ain't going to be going to the, hold on. It says right here, Kyrie Irving and the Nets have just, okay, I'm sorry. I'm reading it right now. That's why I'm mumbling it up a little bit. Hold on. Okay, basically just saying that the Nets said Kyrie Irving can't come to the facility without being fully vaccinated. So basically, that's granted. I mean, you got to do it. Like, it's your job. Like, you know, everybody's saying you can't take the vaccine. You shouldn't have to take the vaccine. But we got to think about what Kyrie Irving is. Kyrie Irving going to be around so many people. It's going to be so many fans in the arena. You know, you're going to be traveling state to state. And, you know, I mean, you got to get the vaccine, man. Because then you also, you got to look at it, the bigger picture. You putting your teammates at risk. You putting people, staff at risk. Even though I understand it all, you don't want to. He says what he's saying, his whole stance was, from what this thing I'm reading on ESPN, is that he doesn't feel like they should be forced. That job shouldn't be forced to make people take the vaccine. He wants to stand up for people who don't want to take the vaccine and have fear for their jobs. That's cool. I like that. I do. I respect that. On me, I do. I respect that. But I don't know how much that's going to hold, you know, especially when you're not the boss of your organization. You know, whenever your boss says something, you know what I'm saying, you probably want to do it. But I respect that he's, you know, standing up for something that he believes in. But Kyrie, man, I ain't going to lie to you. We all want to see you on the court, man. We ain't going to lie. We want to see you on that court, hooping, doing what you do best. And then you could probably be able to talk about that. You know how mad the NBA would be every time halftime come, they want to interview Kyrie Irving, and he talks about, you know, the things that he feels that the world needs to hear instead of talking about basketball. That'd probably be a better way to get your point across, you know. Not saying that what he's doing now is not getting his point across because, you know, he has the whole league by storm. You know, you can't talk about NBA without talking about, is Kyrie Irving going to be at the Nets? Is he going to show up? What is Kevin Durant going to do? What is the organization going to do? Are they going to force things? And, you know, they finally forced their hands saying if he doesn't get vaccinated, he won't be able to play. So it'll be very interesting because also it wasn't even with Kyrie Irving. You also had it with Andrew Wiggins a couple weeks ago. You know, he said because of his religion, you know, they don't believe in injecting themselves with medicines of such type. So it was going against his religion, and he still did it. You know, he still got the vaccine. So I think that's what really made the league like, all right, if Andrew Wiggins can, well, not the league, the Brooklyn probably administrators and the directors who run stuff, you know, probably got looking at it, well, if Andrew Wiggins can go ahead and take the vaccine against his religion, you know, why can't you do it, Kyrie? I'm not saying that's what they said, but just probably certain speculations that you got to think as an organization, you know, like we're all here for one thing, and that's to win. You know, we brought you here for a reason. That's to help us win this championship. You said when you wanted to come here to play with KD in Brooklyn to pursue a championship. And now Kyrie's there. I don't know. It's just been a wild ride from the jump. So that's going to be something really interesting to see, just to see what Kyrie Irving will do. But I hope, you know, I just hope that he, not that he gets it, but I just hope to see one day we get to see Kyrie Irving back on the court, because that is one of my favorite basketball players that I grew up watching. I remember watching Kyrie Irving at the Rookie All-Star game doing Brandon Knight dirty. I'll never forget that when I was in high school. Like, Kyrie Irving is, like everybody say, he's box office. Like, Kyrie Irving is one of the top point guards of the league and will go down as one of the top point guards ever. But, you know, we're going to wait and see how everything goes with that, though. But hopefully he gets whatever he got going on together. But let me go move on from the NBA now and get to that Thursday night football prediction. Now, Thursday night football, we got the Bucs taking on the Eagles. Now, the Bucs are 4-1 going against the 3-2 Eagles. I mean, the 2-3 Eagles, excuse me. You know, this game, I'm really looking at it like the Eagles, their secondary is, they do have Darius Slayton Jr., who a couple years ago was one of the top corners in the league. He was on Detroit. He still is one of the top cornerbacks in the league. So, but I don't think that would be enough, because he can't guard everybody on the field. He can't, you know, the Bucs have too many weapons. Once you see Gronk is out, you know, with that rib injury, but you still have guys that were, you know, pretty good before Gronk got there. Cameron Brate, you got, you know, O.J. Howard at tight end. So those are still good weapons that Tom could use. And then also, you know, Antonio Brown, he had a pretty big game last week. So he's back in the lineup from that COVID. Mike Evans. What's dude's name? He was going to go to the Giants. Good thing he didn't, because we're terrible this year. Chris Godwin, that's his name. Chris Godwin as well. So Tom Brady got a lot of pieces, especially with Leonard Fournette looking like Leonard Fournette from when he was a rookie at Jacksonville. Yeah, I like that, you know. And also, you still got Rojo, you know, Ronald Jones on the bench. So you got backups. And I think that's going to be a little too much for the Eagles. I do think the Eagles will score. Now, the Eagles are going to score. Tampa Bay secondary is piss poor. So, you know, the Eagles will score. You know, Jalen Hurts is just going to show everybody some more why he will be a franchise quarterback for the Eagles one day. A Donovan McNabb type. You know, he won't be electrifying like Michael Vick. No. But I think we will see, you know, resemblance of a Donovan McNabb and a Jalen Hurts. How the crowd and the people will rally around him. How he'll be able to, you know, scramble and make plays outside the pockets. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something that the Eagles hadn't had since Michael Vick. But before Michael Vick, who really did it and took them to a Super Bowl, was Donovan McNabb. And I do think, I'm not going to sit up here and predict that Jalen Hurts is going to have this, you know, amazing career. But I do believe with the terrible division that he's in, yes, my Giants are in it as well. And then with the way that the Eagles are quick, the Eagles can turn around their division their organization in any minute. You know, they got good draft. They got good receivers now. All they really need to do is just tighten up that defense. And let Jalen get in his third year, I guarantee you we'll see the Eagles turn things around. Jalen Reagor, a nice top first round receiving. He's on his second year now. You got Devontae Smith, the Heisman winning running, not running back, wide receiver out of Alabama. You know, he was the first wide receiver to win the Heisman in so long. You know, it's usually just been quarterbacks, a couple of running backs, you know, for the past couple of years, past decade. So it's just like that's, you got somebody certified on your team at receiver. So you got him on the team. You still got Zach Ertz on the team, who was considered top two, top three tight ends in the league under Travis Kelce and George Kittle. So if he can just use his weapons, just give him some time. But I don't think he'll have enough time come tomorrow. I do believe that Tom Brady will win. I will say the final score will be, I think it'll be a little bit close at first half. You know, I do believe that. I do believe the Bucs will start off slow. I believe they'll try to run the ball. And the Eagles got a good front. They got a good defensive front. When I mean defensive front, that means the defensive tackles and your rush ends. They do got a good depth. We got Fisher Cox on there. He's a good run stuffer. So I think they'll try to run the balls first, try to do a little play action to see how they're going to get it. Then I think second half, I think the Bucs will open up the playbook. You'll see a lot more passes, a lot more time, try to fly around, you know, hit his open targets. So I do think, let's say final score, I do think Jalen Hurts is going to score a couple of times. I say final score will go, I'll say 35-17 Eagles. 35-17 Eagles. I'm leaning towards 35-20. I feel like the Eagles are going to kick more than one field goal. Yeah, I do believe they'll kick. But the way these kickers been kicking field goals and missing them, boy, I think they said it was a total of, 13 field goals missed before Deuce was missing field goals on Monday Night Football. And I think he missed, two, plus the one that got blocked. So that's probably about, 16 right there. So, I'm going to lean towards the, 35-17. We're going to take the Bucks for the win. Yeah, I'm like that. We're going to lean that. We're going to lock that in for our Thursday Night Football prediction. And right there, guys, that would be the end of the show. Thanks for listening. We'll have another show this Friday, and this will be our big weekend Friday prediction show. It will be a lot more predictions, not any quick picks. It will be just straight running through who's going on from the college football on Saturday all the way to Sunday Night Football. And then we'll be back after Friday on Monday to recap it all to see if we was right, see if we was wrong. And when I mean by we, we'll have our co-host Kigo with 3 O's on this Friday. And on that note, have a good day, everybody.